When I was a little boy, I used to hear my mom and my dad say, "Put God first." When I went to church, I heard the preacher say, "Put God first and everything will be all right." But how do you put God first? Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 29 and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life sent down the Lord. Many think you were honored.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert continues his series of messages on See You at the Top. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. of Bible Way Community Baptist Church, Irving, takes a look in the book.
The priests, they offer them up, they kill them. And so they made sacrificial offerings. See, if you're going to deal with the thump, and the thump in your life, you got to make some sacrifices.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you can't just stop by making monetary sacrifices. You got to even give some sacrifices of praise.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look down here in verse 29. And he says, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, bladasters, with harps, according to the commandments of David, and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, what else happened? The song of the Lord began. Also with trumpets and with instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation, what did they do? Worship and singers sang. Thank you, Jesus. We got some singers that can sing. And the trumpet sounded. And all this continued. How long did it continue? Until the burnt offering was finished. It didn't stop there. That was just Hezekiah offerings. And that was the 28 animals that he bought. But look on a little bit further. The Bible says in verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now you have consecrated yourself unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thanks offerings into the house of the Lord." And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thanks offering, and as many as were of a free what?
Heart.
A free heart. Burnt offerings. Notice what the Bible says. And how many was it? And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, that means 70, and 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for burnt offerings to the Lord. I'm trying to paint a picture. I want you to see all these sacrifices that they're doing here. And the Bible says, and the consecrated thing, we're not finished yet, the consecrated things was 600 oxen, 3,000 more sheep. In other words, after they had put these 70, they already had 28. Then they had 70 more bullocks. Then they had, 200 more lambs and 100 more rams. When they finished with that, they still had some stuff standing in line.
All right.
Waiting to be put there on the altar. And look at the situation here. The Bible says, but the priests, verse 34, were too few, so that they could not flay, in other words, skin, all the burnt offerings. Wherefore, their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. Isn't that something? They had so many offerings, but they didn't have enough preachers to receive the offering.
Come on now.
Man, I wouldn't mind having that problem.
Come on now.
Boy, I wouldn't mind having that problem, that we got so many folks that wanting to give stuff to God, we ain't got enough folks to take up the collection.
Come on now.
Man, look at here. The Bible says, verse 35, and also the burnt offering were in abundance. They just stopped counting. It was in abundance. And the fat and the peace offering and the drink offering for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. That's good news. They opened, they got the church back open. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
See, they got the church back open. Now, see, that's very important that the church get back open, because God is going to work through the church in order to save humanity. If you ain't got no church, then you ain't got no preacher. If you ain't got no preacher, then you ain't got nobody that's going to bring the word. And if you ain't got nobody that's going to bring the word, then you ain't got no savior. And if you ain't got no savior, you're going to be forever lost. And so they open up the house of the God. Because when you got the house of the Lord back open, then you got folks that can worship God.
Yes,
then when you can worship God, then you can do a work for God. And when you can do a work for God, that means people can know, will know how now to walk for the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so we have these people here had opened up the house of the Lord. And notice the result. Verse number 36. And the Bible says, and Hezekiah rejoiced. And all the people that God had prepared, the people, for the thing was done just like that, suddenly. Look at that. Y'all, did you catch that? The Bible said Hezekiah, the king, he rejoiced, and the people, they rejoiced. Everybody is happy now.
Amen.
Everybody is happy. But look, they still got thot in their lives. But they still rejoicing in spite of that. How can you rejoice even though you got in your life? It's just like when I went down to Louisiana, I was going to a funeral once, and I got lost in the backwoods back there on my way to the funeral. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And there was a man that showed up, and he gave us some directions. And once he gave us the directions to the church, even though I hadn't made it to the church, me and my wife, we were praising the Lord. You know why we was praising the Lord? It's because we was on the right road now. Even though we hadn't made it to our destination, we was excited that we on the right road now. That's why these people were rejoicing in spite of that thump. They was on the right road now. They know as long as they stay on the right road, eventually God is going to remove the trouble. He's going to remove the thought in their life. He's going to remove the desolation, the thought in their life. He's going to remove the jittering, the thought in their life. All they need to do is just stay on the right road. Listen, let me tell you something today. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you got some thump in your life. You got some trouble in your life. You got some desolation in your life. You got some jiggling in your life. Let me tell you something. If you learn this morning how to put God first, then God will deal with that thump in your life. He'll deal with that desolation in your life. He'll deal with that jeering in your life. And even though things may have been removed yet, you just praise God anyway, because you're on the right road.
Yeah.
Well, how do we apply this lesson to our life? Let me give you three things here. The first thing is accept God's invitation. That's the first thing you need to do, accept God's invitation. Why is that? Because there's two spirits that have given you an invitation.
Amen.
Satan has given you an invitation.
Yes.
Satan is calling you, but God is also calling
you.
Satan is calling you to be on his side.
Yes.
But God is calling you to be on his side. Satan is calling you to the world. But God is calling you into the church.
Yes,
Satan
sir.
Is calling you to live in sin. But God is calling you to live a life free from sin.
Yes.
Satan is calling you to go to hell. But God is calling you to take you to heaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you got to make up your mind. Call, you going to answer. Are you going to answer Satan? Or are you going to answer the good Lord?
Amen.
You know what I like about God's call? He's always calling you.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't care what you have done in your life. God is always calling you.
Yes, yes.
Oh, you may say, well, I don't want to listen to the Bible. It don't matter. God is still calling you.
Yes.
You might say, but I ain't going to church. That's all right. God is still calling you. You may even turn your back on that church, but God is still calling you. You may even leave that church with your bad church, but God is still calling you. There's never a time that God is not calling you. You're saying, but I ain't never heard God call me. Well, you know, God, he got many ways of calling you. See, God may not call you by your name. He may not call. He may didn't say Ralph. He may then say Rufus. He may then say Betty Jean. He may then call you Bobo or Boo Boo. He may then call you by name. But when God calls you, a lot of times he calls you with a thump in your life. When you lose a job or something, that's God's way of getting your attention. God is calling you. If there's a sickness in your life, God is trying to call you through that sickness. Whatever trouble is in your life, listen for the time. Oh yeah, sometimes when you're getting ready to step out in sin, there's a little voice. God is calling you with the alarm clock of your conscience. God is calling you with your conscience. Even though you don't see him on the outside, God is talking to you deep down on the inside, saying, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. God is calling you. You need to answer the call of God. So many church folks are bewildered. So many church folks got thumps, thumps, thumps in their life. That's when Jesus showed up. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Woo! He said we need to be praying to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth some laborers into the vineyard. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's the first thing. We need to accept God's call. But the second thing, we need to keep our temple clean.
Amen.
Oh, yes. You need to keep your temple clean. The reason you need to keep your temple clean is not so much so that God won't put a curse on your life, so that there won't be a thump in your life. But you need to keep your temple clean so you can be a good witness for the Lord.
Amen.
God wants you to be a good witness for him. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. Oh, yeah, that's why they're going out on Friday night. They're looking for love, but all in the wrong places. That's why they stand out to 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. They're looking for love. They're trying to find it in all the wrong places. That's why they're going to this club and trying the next club and going to the next club. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. And see, you already done found the love. See, matter of fact, they are so bewildered, they are so frustrated in their search that they don't even believe anymore that there is a God. But you need to let them know there is a God. There is a God somewhere. The reason I know that there's a God somewhere, because of what he's done in my life. See, you need to be able to look some unbeliever in the eye and say, listen, if you want to see a miracle, just look at me. I don't walk like I used to walk. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't do what I used to do. I can't do what I used to do because I'm not the same person that I used to be. And if you think that I'm the only one, let me just invite you over to my church. And over at my church, I can show you hundreds of people that God has worked miracles in their lives. I can show you many folks who used to be alcoholics, but they don't drink anymore. I can show you folks who used to use drugs, but they don't use drugs anymore. I can show you folks that used to run after women's and run after men, but they're not running after men's and women anymore. They're running after Jesus now. All you got to do is just follow me on over to my Father's house. And when you get over to my Father's house, you're going to see some love in my Father's house. You're going to see some joy in my Father's house. You're going to see some peace and happiness in my Father's house. Just come go with me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you need to keep yourself clean. Oh, yeah, and people may say, wait a minute, though, but, brother, you just don't know how bad things are in my life. You just don't know how bad things are in this temperament. You just don't know how bad my heart is. Listen, you tell them, not only do God do makeovers, he do extreme makeovers. Keep your temper clean. Final thing. Keep giving to God. Keep giving to God. Amen. See, the key to living is giving.
Amen.
Oh, I need to say that again. Amen. The key to living is giving. Listen, listen. The key to your breakthrough is in your hand.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The key to your breakthrough is right in your hand. Oh my goodness. Stay with me now. See, people are always talking about, child, I'm going to get my breakthrough. I'm looking for my breakthrough. I'm trying to get me a breakthrough. Listen, you got to do something different in order to get a breakthrough.
Yes, sir.
If you keep doing what you always have been doing, you're going to keep getting the same result. If you want something different, then you got to do something
different.
And often the key to your breakthrough is right in your hand. But see, most of the time, we let the devil control that. Matter of fact, put your pens down. Let's do this illustration here. Look at your hand. Just look at your hand. Now close your hand. Close your hands. You got your hands closed? Now, this is what the devil want to do. He want to close your hand.
Yes, he does.
But the way that he moves to your hand, he start with your heart. He closed your heart.
Yes.
And a closed hand is an indicator that the devil done shut up the heart. See, just like this church house was shut up, the devil want to shut up your house. See, the devil knows that the key to your breakthrough is in your hand.
Well,
and so if I was going to be the devil, I'd make sure nothing come out their hand. So what you got to do, see, think about it. If you got your fist like this here, you're saying, well, I'm holding on to mine. I'm holding on to mine. Yeah, you're holding on to it, but you need it. Can you receive any support? You can't get nothing. You can't get nothing either. Even though you're holding on to what you got, you're going to miss out on what you could have.
Amen.
See, what you got to learn to do, you got to learn how to open up your hand. Open up your hand and then start giving sacrificially to the Lord. Just sacrifice. And see, the thing about a sacrifice hurts.
Yes,
a sacrifice ain't nothing gentle now.
Yes,
that's how you know you're making a sacrifice. See, y'all do know what a sacrifice is.
Amen.
A sacrifice is when you give up a lesser thing in order to have a greater thing.
All right.
See, when it comes to offering, most of the time, we look at the offering as a greater thing.
Uh-huh.
No. Jesus is the greater thing.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
The offering is a lesser thing. I prove it to you. How much would you pay somebody to keep you out of hell? Huh?
Go ahead, preacher.
How much? $100? $200? $1,000? You're going to give whatever you need to give, because you don't want to go to hell. Because when you get to hell, hell is don't have a round trip ticket. And so you don't mind giving out $50, because that's a lesser thing compared to the greater thing. You don't mind giving $100 or $200 or $500 or $1,000, because that's a lesser thing compared to the greater thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't stop there. You don't stop there and praising God with your dollars. You praise God with your sins.
Amen.
All right. S-E-N-S-E. You don't just praise him with dollars. You praise him like you got some sins. See, all of us this morning, we could have stayed at home. We could have been relaxing, just chilling out, waiting on the big game to take place today. Dallas Cowboys, New England Patriots. We could have been just chilling out, getting all everything ready, getting the potato chip ready, getting the ice cream cookies, whatever you're going to have at your party, getting everything ready. But you realize that Tony Romo didn't wake you up this morning. It wasn't Tony Romo. It wasn't none of T.O. that started you on your day. It wasn't nobody but Jesus. Jesus was the one that woke you up this morning. Jesus was the one that started you on your day. Jesus was the one that clothed you in your right mind. Jesus was the one that put clothes on your back and food on your table and a roof over your head. It's all about Jesus. And so you need to always praise the Lord. The Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. But you say, but Pastor, I don't feel like praising the Lord sometimes. My back be hurting. Yeah, but you still living. But you still got breath. You better praise them. You say, but I ain't got no transportation. I ain't got no car. Yeah, but you got breath. You better praise them. But you say, my wife ain't acting right. Or my husband ain't acting right. Yeah, but you got breath. You better praise God. They ain't treating me right on my job. Yeah, but you ought to be glad you got breath and know that you own that job. You gotta praise God. The Bible says that everything that has breath, it didn't say how well you are doing. You gotta learn to praise him in a good time. You gotta learn how to praise him in bad time. You gotta learn how to praise him when you got some money. You gotta learn how to praise him when you ain't got no money. As long as you got breath, you just gotta praise God. God's been too good to us. He's been too good to us. We can't help but praise him.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.